Good morning, Stavanger Church. Thank you for coming out to worship with us in person this morning, even though it's really cold outside. And welcome to anyone who's watching the video online. We've got a couple announcements before we begin our service this morning. We've got our Bible study here at the church Tuesday night at 7 p.m. We've also got the virtual Shady Oak Bible study on Wednesday night, 7 p.m. And we're starting a new Bible study for Lent. There's going to be a Lent series Bible study that's going to be virtual, held over Zoom. If you would like to be a part of that, email your email address to Pastor John. You'll find his email in your bulletin. You can also find that on the website. It will also be included in the Facebook announcement for this series. So in this series, we're going to be taking a look at the I Am statements of Jesus. So this week, we'll start. Pastor John has the first week. He'll be talking about the verse John 8:58, before Abraham was born, I am. So that's this week, 7 p.m. Email your email address to Pastor John to get a link for that. Are there any other announcements this morning that should be made? Our call to worship as we begin our service is found in Psalm 50, verses 1 through 6. The Mighty One, God, the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to where it sets. From Zion, perfect in beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes and will not be silent. A fire devours before him, and around him a tempest rages. He summons the heavens alone and the earth that he may judge his people. Gather to me this consecrated people who made a covenant with me by sacrifice, and the heavens proclaim his righteousness, for he is a God of justice. Let us have a moment of silence as we continue to prepare for worship. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for meeting us here today. We thank you for the love that you have for us. We ask that you would comfort and strengthen those who are sick, hospitalized, or enduring ongoing treatment, that they would know your peace and receive healing and relief according to your gracious will. Be with those who are lonely, depressed, or mentally ill. Surround them with those who know your redeeming love and will mercifully care for them. We ask that you would comfort those who are grieving with the sure and certain hope that they have in your Son. We ask that you would preserve all public servants in wisdom and in honor, giving them strength to continue serving our communities. Receive our thanks for your constant watch and merciful kindness toward us. In every sorrow and every joy, do not let our attention be drawn from the greater marvel of your love in Christ Jesus, by whose grace and forgiveness alone we receive every blessing. We thank you for the gift of your church, and we pray that you would grow and strengthen your church in unity and in love. Keep us this day in your gracious care, securely trusting in your everlasting goodness and love. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please rise as you are able as we continue to worship the Lord with our first hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy.
Psalm 28. To you, Lord, I call. You are my rock. Do not turn a deaf ear to me. For if you remain silent, I will be like those who go down to the pit. Hear my cry for mercy as I call to you for help, as I lift my hands toward your most holy place. Praise be to the Lord, for he has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy, and with my song I praise him. You may be seated as we continue to sing. Yet not I, but through Christ in me.
Thank you.
us continue to worship God as we come to him with a confession of our sins. Let us also hear the words of absolution. I invite you to follow along in your bulletin. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy on us, and for his sake, grant us forgiveness of all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, that by your grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy on us and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them his Holy Spirit. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, O Lord, to us all. Amen. Let us also confess our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Gracious God, we thank you for gathering us together to worship you. We ask that you would turn our hearts and our minds to you, that we would be filled with your scripture, that we would find hope in the gospel that we have. Father, you are too awesome for us. Your mighty presence is like a devouring fire, but you have made a way for us to be with you. We thank you for the salvation that you have provided for us through your Son. We acknowledge your great goodness toward us and praise you for the mercy and grace that our eyes have seen, our ears have heard, and our hearts have known. We ask that our ears would be open this morning to receive your word. And now we pray as our Lord Jesus taught us, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now I'd like to welcome up Pastor Giovanni as he delivers the sermon this morning.
Good morning. As we are so able, would you, congregation, please rise for the reading of the gospel? We'll be reading from the gospel according to Mark, chapter 9, verses 2 through 9. Hear God's word. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud. "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. End of reading. You may be seated. And if you have a Bible, you might want to keep your finger there. We'll read a little bit around that scripture. So, the transfiguration of our Lord. I ask that, that you, Lord, would open our hearts, to touch our hearts and touch our minds with wisdom from on high, as we gather to the joy and worship of your house. Attend your people with your presence, Lord, on the account of Jesus alone. Amen. The transfiguration of our Lord. One of the most memorable stories in the gospel. Whenever we read of this or hear of this story, I always hear people say, "Man, I wish I was there. Man, I wish I could see that." Jesus shining brightly, his clothes dazzling white. Wow. Well, we will see. We will see the Lord. We're blessed in a blessing that the Lord would cause his face to shine upon you. We see throughout the scriptures in the Old Testament that the face of God was the very blessing that the people needed for life to sustain them. We see with Jacob, we see with Moses and Elijah, who all had encounters with God up on these mountaintops, these mountaintop experiences with God. Well, what's this all about? The transfiguration of our Lord. It's showing us who Jesus is. That Jesus is fully human, but he's transfigured. We see a little foretaste of what's to come, that he is fully God. We confess in our creed that he is fully God, truly God. And this is an important scripture to remember when we're debating those issues with others. Jesus is the Son. Spoken from on high, he is given authority in the presence of Moses and Elijah. We are told to listen to Jesus. And the others fade away, and it's only Jesus at the end. We see here a glimpse, as it were, a behind the scenes in the mission of God. Peter, James, and John are taken up. Well, we have to do a little backtracking first to get the context. Our section in scripture today began in verse 2, but let's read chapter 9, verse 1. It says, "Jesus said to them, 'Truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God has come with power.'" And now, in verse 2, "After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain. And surely some who were standing there did see a little taste of what was to come when they saw Jesus transfigured before them." Get a little context here. We go back further in chapter 8 in our Stavanger Bibles. We see there's little section headings which are very helpful. In chapter 8, it says, "Peter declares that Jesus is the Messiah." It also says that Jesus predicts his death He tells them, the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected, and be killed, after 3 days rise again. This doesn't mean the disciples get it, but Jesus told them in chapter 8. We know in chapter 8 that Jesus is the Messiah, and that he unfolds his plan to them. The Son of Man will be rejected, killed, and rise again. And then the last heading says, the way of the cross. Jesus is revealing the mission of God, the way of the cross. And in chapter 9, it almost certifies what we just read in chapter 8. You see, Jesus is more than man. He is more than just an earthly Messiah, more than just a charismatic leader, more than just a wise sage teacher, more than simply rabbi. He is God. Well, nowadays, I suppose anytime, we see ministers, prominent ministers, who seem to fall from grace, or they have a big following, wise teachers, and when we look closer, it seems that their lives were not entirely sanctified, or the platform became bigger, their name became bigger. It became about them, and it became about the ministry. Not so with Jesus. We see with Jesus, it's all about him here on the mountaintop. He is the fullness of God's mission, and our relationship with God through Jesus is what sees us through as Christians. We don't follow after men. We follow after the one who points to Jesus. This is no excuse for ministers who live ungodly lifestyles. But we remember we're properly oriented when we're not doing this, but we're doing this. Now we have a scene here that's quite memorable. Peter, James, and John up on a mountaintop. Jesus transfigured before them, shining brightly. You see Elijah, you see Moses. They say the law and the prophets that they're reminiscent of, that these observant Jews, at a time you would listen to Moses, at a time you would listen to Elijah. These were the miracle workers. But they're talking with Jesus. What were they talking about? Maybe the plan of God. I don't know. It doesn't say. But what we do see is the voice from heaven. That's what we hear. The voice from heaven that says, "This is my son." In the presence of Moses and Elijah, singling out Jesus. "This is my son. Listen to him. He is given all authority on heaven and on earth." Now, the transfiguration of our Lord shows us that Jesus is the Son of God. And it shows us the mission of God that's been going on all along, to seek and save the lost. From Moses' time, from Elijah's time, up until the apostles witnessed Jesus' transfiguration, and even to our day, we see the plan of God to seek and save the lost. And as we're going into Lent, this is the perfect scripture to bridge us into Lent. After the season of Epiphany, when we celebrate Jesus' presence among us, and then we realize, what is God doing among us, temporarily in the flesh among us, dwelling among us for but a time? And we recall this time that Jesus lived among us in the flesh. He's no longer among us in the flesh, but in the spirit. We recall this time, and Jesus reveals the way of the cross. As we go into the season of Lent, we remember that this is God's plan, that this is God's mission. From long ago, send his son in our place for you, for us. And the mission goes on, to seek and save the lost, to come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, and to grow in that relationship. Going into Lent, remember, in this somber time, and in all times, God has a plan. God has a purpose. Jesus, the Messiah, dies. Not according to our expectation. But he told us the plan before it happened. He was truly a prophet. He offered himself up as a priest. And he hung there as our king. Listen to him. How do we listen to Jesus going into Lent? We have to remember the way of the cross. The way of the cross. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. Oh, don't you wish you could have been there to see Jesus, see his face, to be strengthened with his presence? Oh, we will be. We will be. Jesus talks about if you're ashamed of me now, he will be ashamed of you when he returns. But if we turn to the very last chapter in the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, verse 4, we will read, "They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads." Let's read a little back at the beginning of chapter 22. This is the new heavens, the new earth, Eden restored, the last chapter of the Bible. "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Down the middle of the great street of the city, on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light. And they will reign forever and ever." That's all the fullness. That's seeing the face of Jesus shining among us. And this is a promise for you. This isn't simply Peter, James, and John. They gave us their testimony. They were singled out among the disciples. They said, some of you will see this. But now this has burst out to all of us. And as we long for and expect the return of our Lord Jesus, we must remember this when we're caught up in worldly affairs, when we're too earthly minded. We have to remember the mission of God. Remember the sight of Jesus transfigured on the mountain with Elijah and Moses. Peter standing there shaken and afraid, not knowing what to say. Well, how much more glorious in those last days. How much more glorious when we see his face. When all those who followed faithfully, who are not ashamed, who partake of Jesus, when they see him, and when we see him, and we will be changed. We'll be like him. We see Jesus, the Son of God, in Epiphany, coming to us. A man, but more than a man. The Son of God, fully human, and on a mission. A mission that none of us would write, or none of us would want. To pour himself out, to give himself for us. And in this way, he is our Savior. By his death, burial, and resurrection, we come to new life. And we are invited and enabled to partake in his mission, remembering that he is the shining one. And he makes us to be light too. He makes our clothes to be white as well. Our robes shining, cleaner than anyone can bleach them. I remember Pastor John's illustration last year of his wife's wedding dress. It didn't get quite as white as it should have. Well, let's remember that. Jesus makes us pure and holy. And we're acceptable in the sight of God because of Jesus. And we remember the plan of God unfolding throughout all time. First for the Jews, and then for the Gentiles, sweeping the earth so that every nation can hear. And we here in Stavanger find ourselves part of this, part of our God's work to redeem, to bring new life. And we long for the day when we will see his face. And then I just remember again the blessing that we say, the benediction. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and give you peace. Surely he is our peace. He is our hope. He is our life. It's about Jesus. It's not about the minister. Men will fail us, and constantly need to be repenting and being forgiven and being accountable to each other. But Jesus, only Jesus is left, Son of God. Listen to him. God bless you, Stavanger. Be encouraged today and be hopeful as we long for the return of our Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Giovanni. Please rise as you are able as we sing our closing chorus, Go Now in Peace. Now hear the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.